Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling addition and subtraction, but specifically for those bigger numbers. We're gonna cut through the noise and give you the core mechanics and yeah, some really neat shortcuts too.
That's the plan. We're moving beyond just basic sums. Think four-digit, five-digit, even six-digit numbers. Mm-hmm. We want you to feel totally confident whether you're doing a quick mental estimate or, you know, need absolute precision.
Right.
So we'll cover the essential words, those mental tricks, and really dig into how addition and subtraction are linked, that inverse relationship.
Okay, so think of it like upgrading your financial toolkit. By the end, you should be comfortable with subtraction, yeah. With and without the borrowing, or regrouping, as some call it. And you'll know how to check your answers using the opposite operation, applying it all to real stuff like money or just counting large amounts of things. All right, let's kick off with addition. Feels, well, simpler maybe. But getting the language right is key. What are those basic building blocks?
Yeah, the terms matter. The numbers you're actually adding together, those are the addends.
Addends, okay.
And the result, the answer you get, that's the sum. Or you might just call it the total.
Simple enough.
But what's really powerful are the properties of addition. These are like the fundamental rules that let us play around with numbers, especially for mental math.
Okay, so what are the main properties we need to nail down?
Well, first, there's the really intuitive one, adding zero. Add zero to anything, and the number doesn't change. You know, $0 plus 61588F is just 61588 dollars. Zero is the additive identity.
Makes sense. Keep the number the same. What else?
Then the ones that give us flexibility, the commutative property. Basically, order doesn't matter when you add. $123 plus $89 now. It's exactly the same as $89 plus 123 dealers.
Right. You can flip them around.
Exactly. And this isn't just a math rule. It's why, say, systems processing lots of transactions don't care when each piece of data arrives. The total is the same regardless. It's about efficiency.
Okay. That puts a different spin on it, not just a classroom rule.
And the third one is the associative property. How you group numbers doesn't matter either. If you're adding, say, three numbers, you can group the first two, then add the third.
Or group the last two and add the first.
Precisely. $75 plus 19 plus 23.3 gives the same answer as $75 plus 19 plus $23. These two properties, commutative and associative, are why we can confidently break numbers apart and rearrange them in our heads.
Okay, let's use those properties. Talk about the mental strategies. The sources had some great ways to calculate faster, sort of bypassing pen and paper.
Yeah, the main idea is decomposition, breaking numbers down. One way is to break up one number. Say you have $36 plus $25.
Okay.
25 is maybe a bit awkward. But it's just $20 plus $5. So you think $36 plus $27, easy. Then just add the leftover $5. Boom, 61 bunners.
Nice. So you turn one step into two easier steps. What about breaking up both?
That's the next one. Break up two numbers. Good for making neat tens. Take $56 plus $34.
Right.
You see $50 plus six sigs and $30 plus $44.
Yeah.
Because of those properties we just talked about, you can grab the tens. $50 plus 30 equals 81.
Right.
And grab the ones. $6 plus 4 equals $10. Another easy number.
Right.
So $80 plus 10 equals $90. Really handy when you're adding columns mentally.
Okay. And the third one, count in tens. That sounds very visual.
It is. Great for bridging across tens. If you have $154 plus 3 is $5. You start at 154, the 35 has three tens, right?
Yeah, 30.
So you jump $154 right arrow, 164 right arrow, 174 right arrow, 180, 44. That's the 30 covered.
Okay.
Then just add the final five, lands you right on 189. These are great tools, save a lot of time, but maybe best for smaller numbers or estimation.
Right, because when we need real precision with, say, four, five, six digits,
yeah,
we have to use regrouping, carrying.
Absolutely. The mechanism is the same no matter how big the numbers get. Let's look at $467 plus 267 soders.
Okay.
Start with the ones column. $7 plus 4 equals 11 one art. Now you can't just write 11 there. 10 ones is 110.
Oh, you write the 1.
And carry that 110 over to the tens column. You're essentially trading up place value units.
Gotcha. Trading.
So the tens column, you now add that carried 1 plus the 6 plus the 5. That's 12 tens.
No problem.
Same solution. Write down the two tens, carry the 100 over. It just continues systematically. Even with huge numbers like $246,259 plus $357,205.10, you just keep carrying up a columns.
Yeah.
Ones, tens, hundreds, thousands, all the way.
Until you get the final sum. Which was $603,511 in that case. It's methodical.
It has to be. That's the key to precision with large numbers.
Okay, so addition builds things up. Subtraction, Well, it finds the difference or what's missing. It's the other side of the coin. Let's do the terms again.
Sure. The number you start with, the bigger one usually, is the minuend.
Minuend, right.
The number being taken away is the subtrahend.
Subtrahend, okay.
And the answer you get is the difference.
Minuend, subtrahend, difference. Got it. And the key facts, like the zero rule for addition.
Two main ones here. Subtracting zero doesn't change the number. $285 is still $285.
Makes sense.
And subtracting a number from itself always gives zero. $98,731 is still $2. But importantly, unlike addition,
order matters.
Big time. $10.555 is not the same as $5. No commutative property here. That's why subtraction can feel, well, harder sometimes.
Which is exactly why those mental strategies are maybe even more useful for subtraction, to avoid the standard, sometimes messy process.
Definitely. One really clever one is make a tens number by adjusting both. Let's try $87.97 DOS.
Okay, subtracting 19 isn't super smooth.
Right, but subtracting 20 is easy. 19 is really close to 20. So what if we add 1 to both numbers?
Add 1 to 87 and to 19.
Yep. Think about it like shifting both numbers up the number line by the same amount. The distance, the difference between them stays the same.
Ah, so $87.99 becomes $87 plus 1, 19 plus $1, which is $88,225.
And $88 is just $68, much easier, right?
That
You're
goes,
basically
yeah.
adding zero overall, a plus 1 and a negative 1 cancel out. Great for checking change quickly.
That is neat. Does it work well for really big numbers, though, like 5-digit ones, or more for quick checks?
It's probably best for those quicker 2- or 3-digit mental checks. The principle holds, but it might get complicated. Another strategy that works well mentally is count up.
Instead of taking away, you find the gap between the two numbers.
Exactly. Like 50, 40, 67, $10.
Hmm.
Instead of borrowing, think, how far is it from 36 up to 54?
Okay. From 36 up to the next 10, which is 4, that's 4.
Good. Now from 40 up to 50.
That's 10.
And from 50 up to 54.
Another 4.
So add those jumps. $4 plus 10 plus $4 gives you 18. It's often much faster in your head than trying to do the borrowing.
I can see that. Avoids the whole borrowing chain reaction. Which brings us to the standard method for large numbers, regrouping or borrowing. This is where things can get tricky if that top digit is smaller.
It is the critical part, and yeah, where mistakes often happen. That chain reaction needs care. Let's use a tough one. 905.42 won 42 3 89.80 charay.
Okay, break it down for us. One's column first.
Right, $2.88.
Yeah.
Can't do it. So we need to borrow from the tens place. The 4 in the tens column becomes a 3.
And the 110 we borrowed?
Becomes 10 ones, adding to the 2 we already had. So the 2 becomes 12, now we can subtract. 12 by 8 and a 40 for 4.
Crucial step. Remembering the tens column is now 3, not 4.
Exactly. That's the key failure point sometimes. Now, tens column. We have 3 by $99. Again, can't do it.
So borrow from the hundreds. The 5 becomes a 4.
And the 3 in the tens column becomes 13.
Okay.
Okay. 13 deals 9 equals $44. We've successfully borrowed twice now.
And we just keep going left if needed.
We do. Hundreds column. Now it's 486. Need to borrow again. The 9 in the thousands becomes 8.
And the 4 becomes 14.
Right. $14, 6 equals $88. Finally, the thousands column. $8, 3 equals $5. So the final answer after all that borrowing is $5,844.
That change shows how important place value and keeping track really is.
It's the fundamental mechanical skill for precise subtraction with large numbers.
Okay, so we have addition, we have subtraction. How do they work together? You mentioned their inverse relationship, one undoes the other. That sounds important for checking work.
It's absolutely essential for verification. If you do a big addition, how do you know it's right? You use subtraction. There are basically three ways this inverse thing helps find missing numbers.
Okay, what's the first? A missing add end.
Yeah. If you know $25 plus text something 499, how do you find the something?
You'd subtract. $49, $25.
Exactly. $49, $25 equals 24.2. Subtraction finds the missing part of an addition.
Okay. Second, finding the missing starting number in a subtraction, the minuend.
Right. If you have $20 equals $80, what did you start with?
Since the minuend has to be the biggest number.
You have to add the other two parts, $80 plus 20.
Correct. $80 plus 20 equals $100. So minuend equals difference plus subtrahend.
And the last one, finding the missing number that was taken away. The subtrahend, like $90, equals $50.
That one needs subtraction again. You know, the start, 90, and the end, 50. The difference between them is the number that was subtracted.
So $90.
Which is $40. So okay. Subtrahend equals minuend minus difference. This structure, this inverse relationship, lets you check any calculation. If add in 1 plus add in 2, sum, then sum add in 1 must equal add in 2. If not, something's wrong.
That checking step is so valuable, and it leads right into how we use this in real life, right? We often have problems that need both addition and subtraction, maybe in sequence. Exactly. Real-world problems rarely involve just one step. Think about tracking the price of something expensive, like a car. Say it starts at $459,645.
Okay.
Then the price goes up by $64,795, step one, addition.
Right. Got to find the new higher price first.
Then maybe there's a discount. The price is reduced by $45,688. Step two, subtraction. You have to do them in the right order to find the final price, which would be $478,832.
Hold that classic problem.
Yeah.
How much money is left? Someone, Rahul, starts with $2,500, $685, spends $100,675 on furniture, and $205 on transport. You can't just subtract $100,675, then $205 from the start amount easily. You need to know the total spent first.
Good point. First, you add the expenses, $3,575 plus $200 and $205. That's the total amount spent.
Okay.
Then you subtract that total from the starting amount, $200, $565, $90, $25. That gives you the remainder, $640. It's about sequencing the operations correctly.
And sometimes it's just large-scale counting, like inventory or maybe population, like a library adding up all its books.
Yeah, that's often just straightforward big addition. If they have, say, 32,502 English books, 40,504 Hindi, and 25,980 half others.
You just stack them up and add?
Pretty much. The only challenge there is managing all the carrying across possibly many columns, like up into the 10,000s or 100,000, to get the grand total. Mm. In that case, 107,064 together in column. No, in that case, 107,064. So wrapping up, this deep dive really shows the chapter gives the full toolkit and the quick mental strategies for estimates.
Yeah, the decomposition, counting up.
And then the solid, precise mechanics of regrouping, carrying, and borrowing for those really big multi-digit calculations. Both rely heavily on understanding place value.
Absolutely. And let's end with a thought that circles right back to that place value idea. Thinking about that inverse relationship, consider this. The smallest four-digit number is 1,000.
Right.
And the largest three-digit number is 999. What is the difference between those two? Tell us. Just 1,009 to 999.
Well, the difference is just one.
Exactly. Just one. What does that single unit difference signify about how our number system transitions between those sets of numbers? Something fundamental there.
It's the bridge. That single one marks the boundary, showing how each place value level builds right on the previous one. Simple, but profound.
Something to think about. Until next time on The Deep Dive.